65. The Miraculous Draught of Fishes, November the 10th, 1944. The vision begins once again when Jesus starts speaking.
When all the trees bloom in spring, the happy farmer says, I will have a good crop, and that hope causes his heart to rejoice. But from springtime to autumn, from the month of flowers to the month of fruit, how many days, winds, rains, sunshine, and storms must pass, and sometimes wars, or the cruelty of the mighty ones and diseases of plants, and at times diseases of the men of the fields, so that the plants, no longer hoed up, no longer watered, pruned, supported or cleaned, although they promise copious fruit, wilt, and die, or bear no fruit. You follow me? You love me? Like plants in springtime you adorn yourselves with purposes and love. Israel, indeed, at the dawn of my mission is like our sweet countryside in the bright month of Nisan. But listen. Like the excessive heat in dry weather, Satan, who is envious of me, will come to scorch you with his wrath. The world will come with its icy winds, to freeze your blooms. And passions will come, like storms. And tedium will come, like persistent rain. All my enemies and yours will come to sterilize what should be the fruit of your inclination, to bloom in God. I am warning you, because I know. Will everything then be lost, when I, like a sick farmer, even more than sick, dead, will no longer be able to speak to you, and work miracles for you? No. I will sow, and cultivate as long, as I have time. Then everything will grow, and ripen for you, if you keep a good watch. Look at the fig tree near the house of Simon of Jonas. Who planted it did not find the right and most favorable spot. Planted as it was near the damp northern wall, it would have withered, if by itself it had not found protection to survive. And it saw sunshine and light. There it is, all bent, but strong and proud, drawing in the rays of the sun from early dawn, and converting them into nutrition for its hundreds and hundreds of sweet fruits. It defended itself by itself. It said, the Creator wanted me, that I may give joy and food to man. And I want to join my will to his. A fig tree. A speechless tree. A soulless tree. And will you, children of God, the children of man, will you be inferior to a wooden plant? Keep a good watch to bear fruits of eternal life. I will cultivate you, and at the end I will give you such a potent juice, that you will never find a more powerful one. Do not allow Satan to laugh at the destruction of my work, of my sacrifice, and of your souls. Seek light. Seek sunshine. Seek strength. Seek life. I am the life, strength, sunshine, and light of those who love me. I have come to take you whence I came. I am speaking to you here, to call you all, and point out to you the Ten Commandments that give eternal life. And with loving advice I say to you, love God, and your neighbor. It is the first condition that fulfill everything else well. It is the most holy of the holy commandments. Love. Those who love God, in God and for the Lord God, will have peace both on the earth and in heaven, for their abode and their crown.
People go away with difficulty after Jesus' blessing. There are neither sick nor poor people. Jesus says to Simon,
call the other two. Let us go unto the lake and cast the net.
Master, my arms ache with fatigue. All night I cast and hauled the net, and all in vain. The fish are down at the bottom. I wonder where.
Do as I tell you, Peter. Always listen to those who love you.
I will do as you say, out of respect for your word.
And he shouts to the assistants, and also to James and John.
Let us go out fishing. The master wants to go.
And while they are moving away, he says to Jesus,
however, Master, I assure you that it is not the right time. Goodness knows where the fish will be resting just now.
Jesus, sitting at the prow, smiles and is silent. They form a semicircle on the lake and then cast the net. After a few minutes waiting, the boat is shaken in a strange way because the lake is as smooth as a glass pane under the midday sun.
But that is fish, Master,
says Peter, with his eyes wide open. Jesus smiles and is silent.
People, people.
Peter orders his assistants. But the boat lists to one side, where the net is.
Hey there, James, John, quick, come quick, with oars quick.
They rush in the joint efforts of the two crews, succeed in hauling the net without damaging the catch. The two boats draw closer. They are now united. 1, 2, 5, 10 baskets. They are all full of wonderful fish, and there are still so many wriggling in the net, of silver and bronze, struggling to escape death. There is only one thing to be done, to empty the net into the bottom of the boats. They do that and the bottoms become a turmoil of agonizing lives, and the crew are up to their ankle in such abundance that the boats sink below the waterline because of the excessive weight.
To the shore, dear. Quick, the sail. Watch the depth line. Have the poles ready to prevent a clash. We have too much weight.
As long as the maneuver lasts, Peter thinks of nothing else. But when he gets ashore, he begins to realize. He understands. He is frightened.
Master, my lord, go away from me. I am a sinner. I am not worthy of being near you.
He is on his knees on the damp shore. Jesus looks at him and smiles.
Get up. Follow me. I will not leave you anymore. From now on, you will be a fisher of men, and your companions with you. Be afraid of nothing. I am calling you. Come.
At once, Lord. You look after the boats. Take everything to Zebedee and to my brother-in-law. Let us go. We are all for you, Jesus. Blessed be the Eternal Father for this choice.
And the vision ends.